Well, good morning, friends and brethren. So good to see you. Good to see a number of visitors with us. We are very glad to have you with us. Courage. Courage is what's needed to face difficult issues and decisions in life. We've all been there at some point in time where there are just difficult things for us to sort through and decisions that have to be made. And pertaining to our walk in the Lord in particular, sometimes there are difficult decisions to make. Sometimes, seemingly, when everyone else is against us, at least it might seem that way, do we have the courage to stand? Do we have the courage to seek that higher ground? That's what this lesson's about. God has always wanted His people to be of great character and strength. God has always wanted His people to have courage. And in fact, when we look at the Bible story, we come to realize that that's always been required of God's people, of necessity, to be able to stand against the issues and the troubles and trials that Satan will always throw our way. One of the final exhortations of Moses to the children of Israel as they neared the Jordan River and were about to cross, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God is with you. He will never leave you or forsake you." There's always been that need of courage. The children of Israel already had one failed attempt crossing over into the land some 40 years prior, when their strength, their faith, their courage was not all that was needed to take them there. And here they are again at the foot of the river. It's time to cross over. And the words of Moses, in many ways as a reminder of their lack of faith some 40 years before, was to take courage, to be strong, be courageous. You think a little bit just about what is courage. And we may think that courage comes in many different forms and in different ways. You know, just in the past week, I saw an account of a police officer who risked his life to pull somebody out of a burning car. Takes courage to do something like that. Just in the last week, there was a father who died saving three of his daughters from drowning. Took a lot of courage and love to do that. It's courage that enables a soldier to face an enemy in order to stop actions of wrong. It's courage. It's courage that has to well up within mothers and fathers to be able to tell children no to some things that you know are not good for them, but things that they really want. And so courage might be described in different ways in our lives, but described as a strength exhibited to do what is right before God. Let's take it out of these other, the secular realms. Let's think about it in this spiritual realm. Courage is the strength exhibited to do what's right before God. In the end, all of these other issues of life are not going to mean anything but how we stand before God. And it's never been easy to have that kind of courage to stand up in that way, because there's always been opposition, there's always been problems and issues. And it takes an inward strength to not go along with what we know is wrong. And sometimes that's what we face. Courage is the ability to say no from pressure of those who hope that we'll just fold in and that we'll join them in doing things that are evil. It is the strength to choose right over wrong. Courage is the strength to do good over evil. Strength is what is, and courage is what's necessary to choose God over Satan. And it is the Lord who gives courage to those who put their trust in Him. And in the Bible, we find many servants of God who faced danger boldly, and they did so seemingly without fear. If there was fear, it was on the inside, and it doesn't seem to be exhibited on the outside. But they were able to do that because their trust was fixed in God. In our daily Bible reading just recently, we read about Joshua. I want us to go back to some passages about Joshua and think about some important events here. When Joshua was a young man, we recall in our reading a while back, he had already gained a reputation of being a brave soldier, and he was a courageous servant of God and of Moses. He was the right-hand man for Moses. And he had a reputation, and it was a good reputation. And he bravely led the Israelites to victory over the Amalekites. You might recall in Exodus chapter 17, the event that we find there. It was Joshua who was at the side of Moses at another time when Moses went up onto Mount Sinai. So many interesting and important events through the Exodus that we read about where Joshua was there. He was walking alongside of Moses. And it was time to scout out the land. Joshua was one of the 12 spies that went into the promised land. But it was only Joshua and Caleb who came back and had the courage to give a good report. Oh, everyone agreed that the land was flowing with milk and honey and it offered so many things, but 10 of the 12 spies were afraid. They were scared to go into the land because of the size of the people and their strength and their power. You know, it took a lot of courage to stand up and speak against the 10. It was a difficult time. Turn with me to Numbers. Numbers chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14. And it's Joshua and Caleb who are pleading here with the people to not fear those people who are in the land, but to trust in the Lord. Numbers chapter 14. Let's begin reading at verse 6. Joshua, son of Nun, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, were among those who had explored the land, tore their clothes, and said to the entire Israelite assembly, "The land we passed through and explored is exceedingly good. If the Lord is pleased with us, He will lead us into that land, a land flowing with milk and honey, and He will give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, and do not be afraid of the people of the land, because we will swallow them up. Their protection is gone, but the Lord is with us. Do not be afraid of them." But in fact, the people did rebel. The people were afraid to go. So much so that they were even willing to stone Joshua and Caleb to silence them. But you think about it and you listen to the words here of Joshua, who has a full understanding that if the Lord is with them, they have nothing to fear. And that's what he is saying to the rest of his brethren, that we should not be afraid. The Lord is with us. The Lord is on our side. And regardless of what man may throw our way, if the Lord is on our side, we're going to be okay. We're going to conquer this land. And yet the people still, they turned away. We know the story. And they were unwilling and unable to go in and conquer the land. And so it's after 40 years in the wilderness when we go to Numbers chapter 27. Numbers chapter 27. Joshua is one of just a couple who have lived through this 40 years of that old guard, so to speak. Because now a generation has died off. But it's courage in the faithfulness here of Joshua that brings him to this time. A day when Jehovah God chooses him to lead the children of Israel when Moses died. Numbers chapter 27, beginning at verse 18. "So the Lord said to Moses, 'Take Joshua, son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand on him. Have him stand before Eleazar the priest and the entire assembly and commission him in their presence. Give him some of your authority so that the whole Israelite community will obey him. He is to stand before Eleazar the priest, who will obtain decisions for him by inquiring of the Urim before the Lord. At his command, he and the entire community of the Israelites will go out, and at his command they will come in.' And Moses did as the Lord commanded, and took Joshua and had him stand before Eleazar the priest and the whole assembly. Then he laid hands on him and commissioned him, and the Lord instructed through Moses." Think about what brought them to this point and why it is that Joshua is the one standing before the assembly now and why he is the one that Jehovah God has chosen to choose his people or to lead his people. Because he has demonstrated courage. He has demonstrated faithfulness to God. He has done what the Lord has said. And his faith has become well known to all. His courage to stand even against even against his own brethren, who were so very much opposed to the things that he was saying. And if you remember what we read in Deuteronomy 31 just a few moments ago, it was the Lord who promised to be with Joshua and to never leave him alone, as it was spoken even to the children of Israel. And we know that if Joshua had not trusted in the Lord and kept his word, he would have failed to lead the people. But he did. He did just as God said. And Joshua would have every reason at times to be afraid, but he knew that as long as he obeyed and as long as he kept the law of the Lord, it was the Lord who would be on his side. Joshua chapter 1. Turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. The death of Moses has come. Joshua is the one now who is in charge. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you will be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you will go. Here are the words of the Lord to Joshua. And three times in this short text, be strong and courageous. There was reason. There was reason for the repetitive nature of what was being said. There was reason for the continued encouragement to him to have courage, to stand for what's right, to remember my law, the Lord is saying, to obey it, to do just as I have said. And God will be with us. Here's what we can learn, that God will be with us if we listen to him, if we obey. If we do what he says, and we can do that, listen to the courage of Joshua and those who are willing to listen to what the Lord said. We can have every reason to know and enjoy this kind of relationship with God if we are willing to listen to him. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged when we know the Lord is on our side. In our daily Bible reading, we're coming up on the story of David here just in the next week. David, a shepherd boy with an unfailing heart. We go to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 17. 1 Samuel chapter 17. When we read through this Bible story, we try to picture in our minds and understand the courage that it would have taken for David, this young shepherd boy, to fight Goliath, a giant in full armor, strong and powerful and experienced. And yet it was this young shepherd boy that became an example and led the children of Israel to have greater courage and strength and faith in God to do and to accomplish the will of God. 1 Samuel chapter 17, beginning of verse 4. A champion named Goliath, who was from Gath, came out of the Philistine camp. He was over 9 feet tall. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he wore a coat of scale, armor of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. We just try to get a picture in our mind of that, in that valley of Elah, the children of Israel on one side and the Philistines on the other. And there they were, it seems, stymied. Oh, the Philistines came forward every day, or at least they sent Goliath forward every day. And every day the children of Israel, the soldiers of the children of Israel, cowered down and they backed off and they stood back because they were consumed with fear. until you enter in the story of the young shepherd boy. And here comes David with no armor and no sword or spear. He has only his staff, a sling, and 5 smooth stones. David, someone who has never fought a soldier, and Goliath had been a soldier since he had been a young boy. And he was literally a giant of a man, impressive in size, scary in size. And still it's David, the young shepherd boy, who becomes an encourager of men, saying, "Let no one lose heart over this Philistine." It's David who is saying to the soldiers and saying, basically he is saying, "What's wrong with you? Where is your strength? Where's your courage?" David was the one who said that he would fight the giant himself. Chapter 17, verse 32. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." And Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against the Philistine and fight him. You are only a boy, and he has been fighting a fighting man from his youth." So we get a little greater picture of the gravity of the time and the situation. And even Saul, the king, is not willing to see David go to battle because he knows what's going to happen. At least he thinks he knows what's going to happen to the shepherd boy. But David's not discouraged. His courage to fight the champion soldier did not come from men. And then we get some insight to the heart and the mind of David. David's courage would make him stand strong. Verse 34, David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it and struck it and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defiled the armies of the living God. The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." It's still amazing to think that David has this much confidence, this much strength, this much courage to go against the giant of a man, this soldier. But it is, in fact, his courage that makes him stand strong, even in the face of this danger. But understanding as well that he knows and he sees that it is God who is with him. His courage comes not from his own ability, his own strength, but his courage comes from what he knows in the Lord and what he has seen in the Lord. We keep reading verse 42. He looked at verse 41. "Meanwhile, the Philistine held his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was only a boy, ruddy and handsome, and he despised him. And said to David, 'Am I a dog that you come with me with sticks?' And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. 'Come here,' he said, 'and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field.'" David has prepared himself by picking up 5 smooth stones, and he has those ready for his sling. But David's strength comes not from the stones or from the sling. His strength comes from his faith in the Lord, and knowing that the Lord is on his side. And David's courage, his confidence, is what comes from the Lord. Verse 45, David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will hand you over to me, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. Today I will give the carcass of the Philistine army to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all into your hands." That didn't mean a thing to the giant. That didn't mean anything to Goliath. He could only rear back and laugh at the very thought of what's being said. David's strength was undeterred. His strength was in the Lord. Verse 50. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. And David ran and stood over him and took the Philistine sword and drew it from the scabbard and killed him and cut off his head with the sword. But the Philistines saw that their hero was dead. The text goes on to say they were scared. Now they are concerned. Now they are the ones without courage. And they turn and they run away. But we get this glimpse of David's courage and where it came from. And we think, I want courage like that. I want to be like David. And we can. We can have that kind of courage if our faith is as David's was. David understood that to beat the Philistines, it was not a matter of might, physical might, but that it was a matter of the Lord being on their side, and he was so fully convinced of that, and knowing that God was on his side, that he was willing to go against an enemy that was so big and so much stronger than him. We can have the assurance that God, that help comes to us when God is on our side. And that we can overcome enemies that are so much bigger than us, at least from our perspective and our view. But there is no enemy that we will face that is greater than the hand of God. Courage. It demands of us courage to stand for what's right, to understand and to know what is good over evil and God over Satan, and choose to be on his side. Soon we'll be reading about Elijah. You remember the story in 1 Kings chapter 18 about Elijah and the prophets of Baal. This is an interesting story to have in one's mind and to be able to think about and to imagine Elijah as he stands against hundreds of these prophets of Baal. The meaning of Elijah's name is Jehovah is God. And Elijah lived in such a way that declared that over and over again. And it was Elijah who stood on Mount Carmel against these 450 prophets of Baal. And he was standing there alone. From all that we can see and understand, he was there alone, and he had called for these prophets to come. And for the people to come and to see the events that were taking place, because there was a lesson here to be taught and demonstrated. These prophets of Baal were the ones who had rejected the God of heaven and had turned to Baal, and being successful at turning so many to Baal worship. And it's Elijah who challenges them and their God. The God who answered them with fire, though, is the true God of heaven. He answers Elijah, not the prophets of Baal. And they called on their God time and time again, but there was no answer that would come. But it was Jehovah God who responded, just as Elijah knew that he would. 1 Kings chapter 18 and in verse 36. 1 Kings 18 and verse 36. And so let me preface this again. So the prophets of Baal have been calling on their God all day long. An altar has been built. The sacrifice is there. Calling on their prophet or on their God to strike the fire. But nothing has happened. And even after the taunting of Elijah saying, I guess your God cannot hear, shout louder. And they have done this. Still there is nothing. Nothing has happened. Verse 36. At the time of the sacrifice, the prophet Elijah stepped forward and prayed, O Lord, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known today that you are God in Israel and that I am your servant and have done all these things at your command. Answer me, O Lord, answer me so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God and that you are turning their hearts back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell upon and burned up the sacrifice, the wood, the stones, the soil, and also licked up the water in the trench. Impressive? God's power is always impressive. And in this event where there was an altar that had been standing for hours, that these prophets of Baal had been calling upon their God to strike a fire there, nothing happened. And at this prayer of Elijah, after water had been poured on his altar, gallons and gallons of water poured on his altar, and he prays to God, and God strikes the sacrifice. You cannot help but notice that Elijah looked to the Lord for courage and strength to oppose those who were worshiping in error. Elijah knew to whom he must turn, and he boldly took a stand, knowing that these were those who were wanting and willing to kill him. And he was the one who called them all there to his presence. So much confidence that Jehovah God was with him, that with boldness he said and he did all of these things. I want us to have that same confidence. I want us to have the same boldness where we can stand up against those who speak evil things about our God, who are unwilling to follow Him, and who say and who teach things that are contrary to the things that God has given us in His Word. I want us to have that confidence and to know that whatever happens at the hands of men is really going to be of no confidence or consequence in the day that we all stand before the Lord in judgment. And to know that with confidence that we can have courage, we can have the strength, we can have the fortitude to stand against those who maybe don't even like us because of our faith and our convictions. But to know that if God is on our side, there's nothing really that man can do against us. And that in the end, we'll all stand before God in judgment. God will stand for us too, just like He did with Elijah and so many others that we read about through the Bible story. God will stand with us too if we choose to walk with Him. And that He will help us, that He will give us strength. Even as we have read, I will never leave you nor forsake you, is what the Lord said to Moses. Then He said it to Joshua. Then the Hebrew writer repeats the same thing. That gives us confidence to be able to boldly say, as the psalmist would, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What shall man do to me? In the 118th Psalm, indeed. What is it that man can do to us? When the Lord is on our side, we can stand alone against many if we are so willing to do so. In the New Testament, we think about those disciples who stood against men who wanted to kill them, even as they'd already killed the Christ. And here they were standing boldly proclaiming the will of God and the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. The early Christians learned quickly that it was tough to make a stand when there's only a few that stands with you. You can't help but think about the Lord because it was, in the end, the Lord standing by Himself. Sometimes we are afraid when it's only a few who are making a stand. The Lord was alone on the cross. But God saved him too. We can have that hope. We can have that hope that when this life is no more, that God is there for us. You think about Peter and John and the courage that was demonstrated by them in the preaching of the gospel. We talked about them some in our class this morning in chapter 4. Even when their lives were in danger, they've already been arrested, they've been beaten, they've been released. Now they're arrested again because they've continued to teach Christ and His kingdom. And they were confirming the word by the miracles that they performed. They were baptizing believers, and the high priest was angry, and he responds in a very vicious way. And Peter and John are put in prison. And you have to wonder for a moment when these events have turned this way and they're cast in prison, was there ever a doubt? Did they ever wonder for a moment that the Lord had abandoned them? Because it would seem as though things could not get worse. Here they were standing for truth. They were trying to do what was right, and yet they're cast into prison. Sometimes it hurts when we are doing what we understand and know to be the right thing, and there's ridicule that comes because of that. Or there's those who won't stand with us. There's those who make fun of us. Or in the day we're living, more and more it's getting to be, there are those who would seek to harm us because of our faith. Peter and John were there, and many of our early brethren were there. But God had a plan, and through them he demonstrated his power and might, and the prison doors would not be able to hold them. Acts chapter 5. In verse 17, then the high priest rose up and all those who were with him, which is the sect of the Sadducees, and they were filled with indignation and laid their hands on the apostles and put them in a common prison. But at night the angel of the Lord opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go stand and speak to the people in the temple all the words of this life. And when they heard that, they entered the temple early in the morning and they taught. Listening to God's will as it was delivered by that angel, Peter and John went right back to teaching and to doing what they knew was right. And when they're arrested again, and when they were asked, did we not strictly command that you should not teach in his name? Verse 28 says, it's with boldness, it's with confidence, it's with the Lord on their side that Peter says, verse 29, we ought to obey God rather than men. I want us to have that courage. I want us to have that kind of faith and confidence that we can stand against whatever Satan throws our way, whatever obstacles, whatever difficulties, whatever becomes uncomfortable in this life for the cause of Christ, that we can have the confidence, the faith, the courage to stand for what's right and to be the Lord's people. When this council surrounds Peter and John, even more furious and wanting all the more to kill them, they continued to stand for what's right, and Peter and John kept right on preaching. Verse 40. And they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. That kind of courage. Courage is that ability that enables one to meet dangers without fear. There's just not that much to fear when we know that God's on our side. Even if it leads to difficulties in this life, even if it leads to the end of this physical life, that's still okay. God desires that all of us would have the kind of courage that Joshua and David and Elijah and Peter and John and all the other disciples that we can read about. He wants us to have that kind of confidence, faith, and courage. And it takes courage to stand for what is right and what is true. And back to where we started. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God is with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Now, will we be that courageous? Will we take a stand for the Lord? Will we be willing to face whatever difficulties could come in this life to live for Him? That's what the Lord has called us to do. Are you willing? Are you willing to walk with Him? He'll save us. That was the purpose of His coming, to be that sacrifice for us, His blood being shed, powerful enough to wash our sins. Are you a child of God? Have you become a baptized believer? The time and the opportunity is being offered and given once again. If you're a child of God that has stumbled, maybe at times your faith and your courage has not been all that it should. We can change. We can become stronger, and God will help us. Can we help you? You need to respond. Would you come as we stand and sing?